Hey everybody, it's Sam Bennett. Thank you so much for joining me for the True Freedom Symposium, the when, what, why, and how to quit your day job, and what's really on the other side. Allison Bird is known as the Profit Accelerator. She is the first and only small business owner to create an international production house for thought leaders to be executive produced in publication, online platform expansion, and offline sales strategies. Allison's team has created web TV, podcasting, book publication, and digital sales and marketing agency unlike any other. Allison and her team of masterful facilitators have coached over 3,000 entrepreneurial leaders to create over $105 million in new revenue just in the past 8 years. Allison's a sought-after speaker, mentor, and expert, and her work has touched tens of thousands of business owners in more than 27 countries around the world. To find more about Allison, you can see her website at allisonbyrd.com. That's AllisonByrd.com. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Sam Bennett with the beautiful Allison Bird. Hi, Allison.
Hey, lady. I'm so excited to be on with you, like legit over the top.
I know, right? And I love your fabulous pad. Look at your, like, it's so Hollywood glamour.
Oh, thank you. This is Texas, you know, so we do it big in Texas. We got, you know, multiple living rooms, multiple dining rooms, you know, it's just everything in Texas is big.
I love it. So I've been having everybody start off with telling their story of how you got from where you were to where you are.
Ah. So when you say where I was, do you mean in corporate? You mean like kind of that story?
Or wherever, yeah, wherever you want to start.
Well, you know, I'll say this. You know, today I think that people look at my life and they look at the reality that I live. I run a multi seven-figure sales agency. I have a dynamic business partner that I get to do business with. Which in many ways is doing life with as well. You know, we aren't life partners, but we are life partners. And what I mean by that is we spend so much time together visioning and thinking and growing. You know, over the last 8 years, we've walked 3,000 entrepreneurial leaders through our online courses, our digital pipeline, our live events, what we call our do shops, where you come into San Antonio and you do the work with us. And then through our private client work, and they've generated over $105 million in real money, like not Monopoly money.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, major platforms, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Huffington Post, Black Enterprise, those, you know, NPR, those publications and platforms having featured my work. I think when people see that and hear that, they automatically dial themselves out of, well, that's something I can do for myself. And they don't look at the historical context that, you know, I dropped out of high school when I was 15 years old. I was raised by a single mom who was working three jobs. My dad was in prison. The last time I saw him, Sam, I was 4 years old and there were guards looking over us. The last time I talked to him, I was 12 years old. He said, I'll call you back. I'm 40. And that man ain't called nobody back.
Still waiting on the call.
Not at all. And so there's a lot of mindset, mind shift. There's a lot of neurological thought patterns that I've had to unlearn to create the reality that I have today. This is no easy feat. This was not an overnight success. There was deliberate intention and focus. I don't have a higher education. I don't have an MBA, an executive MBA. I didn't get a doctoral degree. I didn't get a mini MBA. I didn't go to Seth Godin's alternate MBA program. Like, I didn't do any of those things. I made a decision. And the decision that I made is that I was a living statistic that had expired. And instead, I wanted to be in the top, you know, 1% of African-American female earners, top 3% of earners across North America. I wanted to make global impact. I had a big meaning in my life, and I wanted to shift into fifth gear of that. And by the way, I wanted to make money when I did it. And Maya Angelou, the late Maya Angelou, said it this way: when you know better, you do better. So I decided to get in a flow of knowing better so that I could do better in and for my world. When I made those decisions, I made them non-negotiable. So I didn't make it an optional, oh, let me think if I can do this, you know? And I didn't let failure deter me. I served failure into my success. Mm. So the reality that I live today is a reflection of a pattern of failing and rising, failing and rising, failing and rising, failing and rising, and getting around people who failed bigger and rose stronger than I ever had, whether they were Black, whether they were women, whether they were anything that looked like me, talked like me, thought like me. As a matter of fact, the more diverse my influencers, the better I became. And the more the influencers looked like me, the better I became. If I was around an Oprah, I felt like, you look like me, you can do it. And if I was around a you, I felt like, you don't look like me, but you have your own story of perseverance and resiliency. And so therefore I can do it. And it eradicated excuses. So how I got from where I was to where I am is that deliberate intention, raising my hand, moving from a permission zone to support zone, not asking people to give me permission to declare a new reality for myself, but I've given myself permission and now help me get there. And that's just the fundamental of mindset that allows all of us to shift our realities and bring in what we're really born to do.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so that's church. So, and what I love about what you're saying, and I wish there was a way to communicate this to people. I wish there was a way for people to experience, like, some, I don't know, 3D ride at Universal Park or something. Because it's, you're exactly right. The decision is everything. Mm. The decision is everything. And as I was taught, money loves decisions, money loves speed. Mm. And one of the things you learn as an entrepreneur is, like, you just start making a lot of decisions. And like you said, some of them work and some of them don't.
Yeah.
But you're just like, next, right? And the thing I wish people could experience is that before you make the decision, it's all very cloudy and confusing. And, well, what about this? And what about that? And should I have a website? And what about this? And this person's doing it that way. And I don't know. And how much should I charge? And, like, it's all very overwhelming and cloudy and confusing. Mm. Once you're on the other side of the decision, once you're like, nope, this is what's happening. And
non-negotiable.
There's no fallback position. We've burned the boats. This is what's happening.
Yes. Yes.
You start to see the answers to your questions. You start to see the opportunities that you couldn't see before.
Yeah.
Start to see the possibilities and move towards them in a meaningful way. Mm. So yeah, I think that's super important. How do you teach your people, your students and your clients how to be better decision makers?
Well, the first thing that I think people must understand is that as humans, we are hardwired to stay safe. Mm. So we are always going to go for safety, and we're always going to talk ourselves backward. So the first thing that you can do is identify what is potentially holding you back. Things that hold us back are self-limiting thoughts, prayer, waiting on God. Creativity, blaming creativity for procrastination, personal fears, past failures, cynicism, jealousy, envy, anger, wrong community, no community. So the first thing that I say to people is identify the number one inhibition that stops you from making decisions as it relates to what you're looking for. When you're trying to develop any business idea, there are four areas that I think you want to look at. How am I going to be visible if this idea works? How am I going to create influence if this idea works? How am I going to drive impact if this idea works? And how am I going to make profit if this idea works? And so look at every inhibition that you may have there. If I need to be visible, do I have inhibition about the way I look, about the way I speak, about the way I dress, about the way I'll be accepted? If you do, you need to solve for that and give yourself permission to either A, overcome that, or have a spokesperson. Then you look at influence. Then you look at impact. Do I have inhibitions there? Do I think people won't follow me? Do I have a fraud nature? I'll feel like a fraud if they start following me. The first time that I stood on stage and I sold a $7,800 product, Sam, eight people said yes. That was $62,400 that went in my bank account that day. American Express, Discover cards that day. That was half of what I used to make in a year. I instantly felt like a fraud. And I felt like, oh my God, I shouldn't be taking these people's money, yet I was doing a service that had a direct monetary exchange. So I had to find a way to overcome that inhibition. So you got to look at the inhibitions that you have. Otherwise, the inhibition will take the driver's seat and you will find yourself in a cyclical pattern over and over where you win, but then you position yourself to lose and you will tell a story about yourself that's not real. And you may need to overcome that with a spiritual coach, a life coach, a visioning coach, a strategic coach, a strategist, a mentalist, a shaman. You may need to go to Sedona, Arizona, go in a vortex. I don't know what you need to do, but identifying it or that awareness and that discovery is the first part of solving for it. And that will help you make stronger decisions, resilient decisions, unbreakable decisions.
Yeah. And I love that being able to tell the difference between what's real and what's not. I mean, my community is mostly creatives. People would self-identify as creative. And, you know, most of us, me included, not exactly members of the Happy Childhood Club.
Mm.
And for many of us, especially who grew up in addictive homes or abusive homes, the ability to turn invisible at a moment's notice was an important survival skill.
Come on.
Right?
Yes.
And it then makes sense that it can be a little challenging, 35 years later to turn around and go like, you're like, oh, I'm going to take center stage. And, your inner self, your inner 9-year-old's like, that's not safe.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So then all of a sudden you start making decisions that sound really real. Like, oh, I'm not ready. Or, oh, I need more training. Or, oh, I need another certification. Or, oh, something else, has to happen.
Or you get to the light and you find a way to come backward, right? You get to the light and you seek your shadow. As the late Debbie Ford taught us, who has a phenomenal new book out, by the way, even though she's ascended, her sister produced it. Yeah. And it's amazing on the holiness of ourselves. It's so beautiful. I pre-ordered it. Started reading and couldn't wait to dive into it. But, we regress into the shadow versions of ourselves, which is why we see people who, my dog did some movement over there. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. But identifying those inhibitions is imperative. I was with a colleague of mine the other day, and she said to me, by the way, she has a 2.5, $2.8 million business thus far. And we were watching TV and she said, can you turn the captions on? And I said, yeah. And I said, can I ask you a question? Do you have a hearing problem that I didn't know about? She said, no. And she said, my childhood was so chaotic that I would basically, I couldn't, parents were arguing, things were going on, so much was happening. I never could hear the TV. So I learned how to watch TV without the sound, tune out everything around me, basically invisibility, so that I would be safe and I would just read the words and see the pictures and go into a zone. And I mean, instantly, like, tears just rose. And I said, and you still watch TV like that today? She said, I don't watch TV a lot because it takes me back to that regressive place of, She said, but when I do, I do. And I was floored by that. And so what we have to know is we don't always heal from everything that has wounded us or injured us, but we can reconcile to what's true. And so it's important to to identify that sometimes that can be a shadow in our own professional advancement.
Aren't humans amazing? What an incredible adaptive strategy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep.
And what's crazy is I said it to a friend of mine, like 3 days later, I said, you know, I mentioned the story because I think it's so important. And before I finished the story, he finished it. And I said, how do you know? He goes, it's what I did in foster care.
Wow.
I said, what? And he said, yeah, my foster parents were so abusive, this and the other. I'm like, what? And oh, by the way, he led one of the largest, most successful real estate brokerage companies in DC. I mean, just so much success that he's created. And he's like, and today I still watch TV like that. I'm like, holy shit, you know, just amazing.
That's amazing. And I'm just thinking about this childhood stuff. Like, I remember before I did my first big live event, which, you know, putting together those live events is like,
yes,
it's a lot of work. It's like planning a wedding, but worse. It's a big project.
And sex is not always at the end.
And I was, and as I was prepping for it, and I was feeling some of that inner resistance. I was feeling some, I could tell I was kind of holding myself back a little bit. So I did some work with my coach and I realized that it was that 9-year-old. And I she didn't want to be in a room with that many people. And she didn't want to be in charge of everything and have to make all those decisions and have to be the host and have to, you know, try and move all these people in the course of 3 days from where they were to where they wanted to be. And so I gave her permission to stay. So I was like, you know what? This part of me can just stay in the hotel room and read Nancy Drew. Like, you don't have to come into the ballroom, honey. You know, and like just having that little partition, that little imaginative game of like, there's part of me that's just going to stay in the room and be quiet and read.
Yes.
While the rest of me is out here running the show.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay. It's such a silly little game, but it made all the difference in the world to me.
Yeah. It's just a tiny bit of schizophrenia, but you know what? Here's the reality. We're going to do it anyway.
Right.
We're going to find our way to safety anyway. And so, you know, I want to encourage people that are listening, you know, learning and language does not bring instant gratification. So when you're listening to Sam and I, what we're doing is bringing forward awareness for you. And sometimes awareness is exactly what we need to bring forward our own transcendent new realities. What I want to invite you guys to think about, even if you've got to pause the replay for a second, is take a deep breath in. I'm talking about one of those breaths that come from your belly. And say, where is it where my inhibitions have been guiding me? And where have I been giving myself permission to stay in a zone of resignation or safety because I did not take the moment to either reconcile to my truth or I haven't known how? Mm-hmm. And you can do that through meetup groups. You can do that through private you know, support. Not everyone can afford a robust roster of supporters through life coaches, spiritual coaches, psychotherapists, and all of that. But don't let that keep you in resignation. Raise your hand, step into those support zones, because every day that you wake up is a reflection that the world needs you. And we need you bigger. We need you brighter. We need you more deliberate, and we need your intentionality so that we can be a better, safer space for everyone around us. Your contribution is necessary.
That's exactly right. And it's weird to think of how much your success emboldens others, how much you shining more brightly encourages others, how much you moving through whatever's holding you back helps other people move through what's holding them back. You know, we think of it, sometimes I think we think of like, oh, it's self-indulgent or it's selfish for me to work on myself or for me to spend money on this coach or to spend money on this program. It's like, not if it makes you a better you and a better citizen and a better leader and teacher.
It's so real. It's absolutely so real.
Yeah. So Allison, one of the things you do better than pretty much anybody is sales. Where did you learn this? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was in a hotel room the other day, and I've been in a lot of hotel rooms recently. So before you start thinking that I got a side job as a side chick, I just got off tour. But I was in a hotel room the other day, and we were at a resort, and we had adjoining rooms with one of my team members, and all of the team that I was traveling with were women for this particular body of work that we're doing in the world, which is all about helping women entrepreneurial leaders find their dominant voice, their omnipresence, bring forward their funky, fresh, fly way of being, their individualism, and their own personal enlightenment. And so we've been on tour, and one of our sales team members came over, sent me a text and said, "Can I come over to your suite?" And I said, "Yeah, come on in." And so she came in, and there were a couple of books laying on the bed that I was reading. And one of them was a book on sales scripting. And she said, "Who's that book for?" And I said, "Me." And she said, "Why are you reading a book on sales scripting? You write the best sales scripts. You have courses on sales scripts. You have..." And I said, "Because I love getting better at what I'm already amazing at. Like, I love it. I love when I work out with my trainer and he has me do jump squats. Why? I'm really good at them. What do I hate when he has me doing jumping lunges? Why? I'm really not good at them. Both of them give me a new reality, but I can't stand when he makes me a fish to climb a goddamn tree. I'm like, oh, I can't do it, you know?" So number one, I was born a salesperson. I just was. By the time I was three, I had my first business, my little newspaper route. And it was not an integrity, by the way, Sam. Mm-hmm. I sold a free newspaper to elderly. And one of my family members called me out and said, "Hey, that's not an integrity. You can't do that." And that was the first time that I learned about creating a UVP, a unique value position. And I said, "Well, I want to sell them and make money." And they were like, "But they are free, so you can't do that." And I realized, wait a minute, what is real is I noticed my grandmother would go to the store. She would talk to everybody at the store. This is back when people talked to people in person. And, you know, you're talking about the early 80s. And here's something she would always do, Sam. She would talk to members of the church, talk to members of the community, get in the car. We get home. My grandfather would go to her and say, "Baby, where's my paper?" Now, the newspaper was always on the way out. She would always forget it. She just forget it because she was talking to everybody. I realized the restoration to my integrity and the pain point of my business was they would forget. And so now I wasn't selling a paper. I was selling convenience. "I'll bring it to you. Did you forget the paper? Here it is." And I sold it for 25 cents. For convenience. So that was the first time that I created a unique value position and a unique sales position. And it was also where I learned to create a unique enrolling position to say, "How about you never have to remember a paper again? I'll just do a delivery consistently." And I would do it. And that was the first time, of course, I didn't understand that there was a system or a method to what I was up for. But I have always been an enroller for people. I believe that sales is inventing a possibility people didn't know it existed until you established it. Mm-hmm. So people didn't know that a paper could be delivered to them like that until I established it. You may have a t-shirt, a jewelry line. You may have a collection of affirmation cards. You may have, you know, whatever your it is, people don't know it exists until you bring it forward to them and they're excited about it. And that gives you the possibility and the plausibility of a sale. So I study my craft. I read about it almost every day. I read blogs as much as I write blogs. I listen to podcasts as much as I guest on podcasts. And it's just my jam. It is literally my jam.
I love it. I love it. And here's, this is an important thing about business too. Anytime you are willing to do something for someone that they don't want to do for themselves, you can charge for that.
Yeah. That's real.
They don't want to do it. They don't want to learn about it. They don't want to hassle with it. You can charge almost anything you want for that. This is why plumbers make so much money. Nobody wants to know what's going on there.
No like, one.
Just, here's the credit card. Make it fixed. Right?
Yes.
Right? And sometimes what they can't do for themselves is see themselves as beautiful, see themselves as capable, see themselves as powerful, see themselves as somebody who can do jumping lunges, which, jumping lunges, that's almost as bad as burpees.
Oh, yeah. It's so annoying. It's so anyone annoying. Who follows me on Instagram, you'll see my failed attempts at it in my IG stories or on my Instagram. I'm always failing and fumbling, but I show you guys, you know, we're even running an ad right now. I think that shows me working out and, you know, my belly's hanging out, my arms are flapping in the wind. And I wanted to do it because I am perfection at a lot of things. And I say that with no humility there. I just really am really, really amazing at facilitating. I'm amazing at sales. I'm amazing at conversion. I'm amazing at identifying problems, agitating the problem, solving the problem, creating profit acceleration, roadmaps, and blueprints. And I think that's intimidating for a lot of people to see someone, particularly a woman, who unapologetically owns her voice and what she is dynamic at. And I wanted to bring forward, I'm really dynamic at these things, and I have to growth hack some other areas. We have to all understand there are areas we have to growth hack for our lives, and we've got to bring a hacker into the space to help us. So my trainer helps me. My yoga therapist helps me. Why? I sit a lot. I sit on planes. I sit doing interviews like this, even though I'm not sitting in a chair and I get to move my legs and do different things. You know, my sciatica gets stressed out and my back and my posture. And so I have a yoga therapist. I have a private trainer and I have a massage therapist. They all help me hack a better body and a new reality for myself. And so I love to showcase to the world, here's what I'm incredible at, and then here's what I'm not so incredible at, and I get to raise my hand for that support. I think that's a great reflection for women, for leaders across the globe to understand. I get to be what I'm dynamic at, and then I get to get support at what I still want to have good results in, but I'm not the best at leading for myself. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And the other thing I love, and that I love about your marketing, because I'm like you, I subscribe to everything. I read everybody's everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fascinated. I always want to know what everybody's up to. I sign up for everything to see what their sequence is like. Like, I can't, I love it. I love it. And then when I see a good idea, just snatch it right out of the air, right?
There you go. Steal like an artist. I love that book.
Steal from the best. But one of the things I love about you and the way you work and the way you message your work is that it is so truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sure that you could lie if you really even wanted to, but you are so truthful and so unapologetic about calling out what's really happening. You know, you had a Facebook post a while ago that I've been quoting all over town. It was like 2 years ago now.
Okay.
You said in a Facebook post, if you're looking for accountability, keep walking, because that's just a grown-up word for babysitting, and that's not what I do. If you are not jumping off the couch to get done what you know you need to get done, then find another coach, because I am not your girl.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I like it.
You're like, that's mine. Yes. I love what Les Brown says. The first time I'll say, hey, Allison Bird said. The second time I'll go, hey, a friend of mine said. The third time it's like I always say.
Exactly. That's very good. That's, and now we can now quote Les as a friend.
Absolutely. And you know, I will say this. There are three primary attributes of really confident people. And I think that if you're going to curate a ground and pattern of success for yourself, confidence and crossing the bridge or the crisis of consistent confidence and courage matters. Because sometimes as we develop it, as we grow, we forget we've got to refill the cup of confidence and courage. We forget because every new level requires a new version, a new iteration, a new remix, if you will, of our courage and of our confidence. Mm-hmm. And so three attributes are, number one, confident people don't mind trying new things, even if they've never done them before. And if you find yourself having a resistance to newness, that's when you have to have what's called a conductor around you, someone who can agitate up that newness and make you okay with it, because maybe they handle 80% of the newness and you handle 20%. Of the newness. The second thing is, confident people don't let what others may or may not think influence their decision to do something. Oh. And so you give yourself permission to have counsel. And at the same time, you are the responsible decision maker, because that's what makes your decision non-negotiable. And that's what supports you to magnetize more of what you ultimately desire. And then the last thing is, they let go of those inhibitions and they don't mind letting their guard down. And right now, at the time that we're doing this particular recording, I'm having an event that's coming up and I'm doing something I've never done before, Sam. I'm live streaming this event. We're doing it to over 30 countries. It is one of the most electromagnetic pieces of work that I've ever done before. And I am not scared. I am just in a new space. And I'm working with my spiritual coach every 3 days. We are just dialing and dropping me back in. I'm spending more time in my body and my spirit to release those inhibitions. And I think people would look at me and go, well, you don't even look like you have them. Well, that's not real. Right. What I do is I set myself up to identify them and then serve them into what is next for me and say, all right, let's spin out the debris of what is not real in that story and go to the core of the matter. Mm. And that's what makes my skill, my knowledge, my talent, my education even more robust, is that I give myself permission to win and I don't have to lose myself, my authenticity, my transparency, my relationships, my physique, my health, my consciousness. I don't have to have a Pyrrhic victory where I look to the right and the left and everything around me is dead at the sake of what I thought would be a win.
Yes, yes. And what I'm hearing is that in many ways, we were talking about the getting in the habit of decision-making, the habit of fast decision-making, that the confidence and honesty can be a habit too. Mm-hmm. You know, that the more you do it, the more comfortable you get doing it. You know, the first time you think, I can't say this in public, I'll die. They're going to stone me. It's going to be awful. And then you do it and it's not that bad. And then you do it again and people kind of like it. And then you do it a third time, you get a good laugh and you're like, oh, this actually kind of works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really you can turn anything, whatever it is you think is wrong with you or makes you unfit for success, is probably the exact thing that makes you perfect for success. Mm-hmm. And the minute you start sharing truthfully what's, and like you said, spin out, get rid of the story part of it, get rid of the parts that aren't serving you and find the meat of it, it can really move you forward. You mentioned Debbie and Arielle Ford earlier. I have Debbie's new book on order too. The Arielle and I were at an event. Arielle is Debbie Ford. We were in an event one time and we were talking and something came up about an accident. When I was 20, I broke my back. Mm. And I had to learn to walk again and my face was all destroyed. It was a big deal. And I never talk about it. Like, it never comes up. And so I was talking to, somehow it came up in conversation with Arielle, though. You know, she has that ability to like get things out of you.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I was talking to her about it and she goes, do you use that in your teaching and like in your marketing and stuff? And I said, oh no, never. I'm like, I hardly ever talk about it. And she goes, oh man, if I broke my back, I'd be making money off that all day long.
A friend of mine calls it pimping your pain. She said, I'd be pimping my pain all day long.
He's like, you had to learn to walk again. Come on.
Yeah. Oh man.
Sorry. It doesn't really
I might out. Leverage your story. I'll be like, my friend, she broke her back and she had to learn to walk. I mean, I don't know how much of it, you know, you've ever heard the term, never let truth get in the way of a good story. I don't know how much it'll be 100% accurate, but I'll make it a damn good story.
Right. But turning your mess into your message. I mean, we love that. I think I've been thinking a lot about this, I think the number one thing that people struggle with, no matter who they are or what their business they're in, is, can I do it? Like, am I up for this? You know, can I be a good executive? Can I be a good mom? Can I be a good church member? Can I be a good teacher? Like we're constantly questioning our own capability.
Yeah.
So so being able to hear other people's stories. And like you said, we can see ourselves in them and go, okay, well, that person kind of looks like me, or they've had a struggle like I've had and they could do it. So, you know, we're tribal. We learn by mirroring, by watching, by modeling.
We do. I remember when, this is not like going to be promoted on teenage summits or anything like that, right? No. Right? I gotta make sure.
No, we can swear. We can be adults here. Yeah.
We can be adults. Okay. It's an adult zone. So I remember when I was dating a guy for a while, and I talked to a girlfriend of mine, and I said, you know, our sex has just gotten a little bit mundane. And she said, well, tell me what you do. And I said, what do you mean what I do? She was like, tell me what your go-to moves are. And I was like, okay, I felt really awkward turtle about it, but I was the one who initiated the dialogue, and I knew she could help me because she was just good. She just always sounded like she was good at sex. I'd never slept with her, but she seemed like she could help me. So I said, these are my go-to moves. She said, oh, I know exactly what you should do. So she says, here are a couple of things that you can do to spice up in the room, in the bedroom, or wherever you are. And she explained to me this move. And when I tell you, Sam, I thought I was going to break my partner's penis because I fell in the middle of the move, right? I couldn't get the leverage of what she was saying. I won't go into the graphic nature of it, but let's just say I toppled. And so I called her and I said, it didn't work. Like, I did this and I did that. She said, oh, she said, I didn't tell you that if you've never done it before. Now listen to this. She says, I didn't tell you that if you've never done it before, balance might be a problem. Do it again. I said, no, I'm not doing it again. I don't even think he's going to let me do. I think he's going to feel me moving toward that and go, no, you know. And she said, no, do it again, but this time do it on the floor. And she said, you won't have the, you know, like this is kind of nasty, right? She said, you won't have the buoyancy, if you will, of the bed. Do it on the floor. It'll be solid. And she goes, I promise you'll land it. So I told them that I talked to her and I said, she told me this is what I'm supposed to do. So we're going to do it on the floor. We get on the floor and man, I land that thing. And it was amazing for him, amazing for me. And the translation of that story is sometimes there are best practices, and those best practices will apply across the board, but sometimes the platform of where we apply it to matters. And also the season of where we are matters. I am heavier than she is, and my ability to balance the move on the bed wasn't there. The minute I changed the platform, it worked for me. Mm-hmm. I think that so many of us listen to experts and we try to do everything exactly the way they did it, but we forget that we are unique individuals and there are things that need to be distinctive, that there are core principles of the success of the matter. And sometimes we've just got to change where we're doing it as it relates to where we are in that stage of ourselves and our own resilience and limber nature as we're doing it. You know, so just a direct correlation could be, you listen to someone like Lewis House who says, do this with webinars, or you listen to Grant Cardone who says, do this with real estate. You know, you listen to Marie Forleo who says, do this with an online business. Well, maybe you aren't good on webinars. You're better at live platforms. Yeah. Maybe you don't have money to do real estate right now, but what you could do is buy one property and flip it. maybe you're not great at online just yet because you don't have the audience. So you need to do a meetup group tour. But some of the fundamentals of what they say matters, but it's the platform, yes. You know?
Yes. And this is something else I wish that we could make a ride at Universal about. So that people could have the experience. This, I talk about giving my clients and students x-ray vision. Mm. Like, it's not so much that I have some amazing strategy and everybody should do things my way. I have a few amazing strategies, but mostly what I have is an ability to look at what everyone is doing and be able to go, well, what makes that work? Mm. Why does that real estate strategy work? Why does that webinar strategy work? Why does that online business, like, what's the human element? What's the storytelling element? What are the elements of desire and contrast and salt and sugar or whatever it is, you know, it's like cooking. Like, everybody wants to say, you know, here's how you make a hamburger, and you can take their class and learn how to make their hamburger. But you better like that hamburger because that's what they're going to teach you.
Yeah.
I'm much more in favor of going, okay, this is a kitchen and this is a stove and this is ground beef and here's how beef interacts with heat. And like, once you understand the principles of the thing, you can do almost anything.
What you can do.
You can do almost anything. And then you really can tailor it to your own skills, talents, ability to balance.
Now everybody's going, what move was she doing?
What on earth could they be doing?
Let me just say, it's good, honey. It's good. It's good.
This better be your free gift. I want a diagram. Insert tab A into slot B.
Oh, man. Now it is one of my go-tos on the roster.
This is how we keep things exciting.
That is so funny.
And really, isn't that what entrepreneurship is all about? Constantly developing new skills, challenging yourself, being willing to fall off and almost break somebody's dick.
Yes.
But in service of a better future.
For a better future, I tell you, bring the learning forward. You know, one of the things, my dog Duchess is next to me. She won't come over here because she doesn't like the paparazzi. Somehow she always knows when I'm on camera. I don't know how. But if you come into my home, you will never know that I have a dog. I have hypoallergenic dogs. I have two. And they don't shed. They don't do anything. And my home, of course, just doesn't smell like dogs. They don't slime, you know. And some people do have dogs and they can't help it because the type of dog they love, you know, throw spit and water and fur and, you know, everything. Well, anyway, my dogs are trained. And a couple of weeks ago, my dog peed in my bed. Now, I was like, what is that? And at first I thought, did I spill something in my sleep? I thought, did I spill something? And my dogs only sleep in my bed on Sunday nights. And they know when Sunday night is. It's the weirdest thing. But they only sleep, Saturday nights. And because I sleep in on Sunday. So I love them being snuggle. And they have a blanket. And they lay on it. And it's their thing. And that's it. Now, my bedding is Pinterest perfect. All white. Multiple layers. By the way, if you've never Googled how to make the perfect bed on Pinterest, do it. It is amazing. The layers. Oh my God, you get in it and you can't even see. We had to raise my TV just to see because after we bought all the layers, it's epic. Okay, anyway. So when we had to take all the layers off, this was work. Okay, my housekeeper did it. She got it all off. Fast forward the next Sunday, Duchess pees in my bed again. Now my dog is 4 years old. So she's number one, old enough to know not to and young enough to not have an incontinence issue, but I called the vet anyway. And the vet was like, well, maybe we need to run some tests. But then the vet tech said, do you mind if I ask a couple of questions? And I said, no. And she said, is she? And she starts going through all these questions. And I'm like, no. And then finally she said, is your bed high? And I said, yes. And she said, how high? I said, well, I use a little stepper to get in it. Like I have a little wooden, you know. And she said, you know what I think? I said, what? She goes, I think it hurts her to jump. And I think she may have to go to the restroom and it hurts her to jump. I said, but she's four. She's been jumping. Now you guys got to listen to this lesson. I said, she's been jumping off my bed. Now I don't let her climb up because she can't, she'll break her back. But she flies off like Super Dog, and she learned it from her older brother who's six. And she said, dogs mask pain well. She said, I think she's been having pain and she's done with it. She goes, that's what I think. She said, and I think you got to retrain her to tell you I need to get down and you help her. She goes, either that or steps. But I promise you that's what's up. Okay, fast forward to the next week. I go, all right, here we go. It's sleep day. This chick better not freaking pee in my bed because it's a big ass deal to get all that stuff off. And it's nasty. So I don't want it, right? So I'm like, ah. And thankfully, there's so many layers, nothing got in the mattress, but I'm just like, oh my God. So I watch her and then I see her start pacing and I teach her to scratch and tell me I need help getting down. Well, that was a couple of months ago. She's never peed in my bed again. Here's what I want you guys to understand from that story. Duchess had learned a pattern, and the pattern that she learned was from her brother. And I asked her, how come King doesn't have that issue? And she said, he's a boy and he has different buoyancy. Like when he lands, it doesn't hurt him. And she said, it's like how men can do pull-ups and women have a harder time. That's what's up. Duchess had learned from a patriarchal model. And she tried to do it, Sam, as long as she could. But then she had to speak up and say, this hurts. It doesn't work. It doesn't feel good. I'm underserved this way. And she didn't know how to use her voice. And so instead, she acted out just to kind of show it. And I think that many of us have learned from models, whether the patriarchy or whether a super achieving, high achieving, whatever it was. And we're at a place in our lives where we go, that doesn't work. I did it. It doesn't serve me. I don't want to grind all night. I don't want to stay up. I don't want to miss vacations. I don't want to miss sleep or whatever it is. I don't want to sacrifice that way anymore. I've not been using my voice, but I'm ready to speak up now. And sometimes we try to bring that forward, but we do it through acting out instead of actually being able to be self-expressed and articulate it. And so as we kind of wrap this time together, I didn't even know I was going to tell that story, but it was such a beautiful lesson. And I apologized to my little soul of a dog. And I said, I know you can't talk, but I'm grateful. And I said, what I'm more grateful for is I asked myself, Allison, what has expired? And how are you peeing in the bed? Mm-hmm. You know, how are you saying to yourself, this doesn't fit me anymore. It doesn't work. And I know this is how I created success. And I know I built launch strategies that would burn me on both ends. And I burn out my team. And I know I do this and I know I do that. And I know we'd walk away with 1. Whatever million, or I know we do, you know, whatever that number look like, but man, I'm done. And it doesn't feel good and it doesn't work and I'm out. And yeah. So I really hope that this dialogue that we have gets people to identify where have you learned something and it worked for a season, but it's hit its expiration. And now it's time for you to garner support in a new way so that you can have the realities you want in this season. It's okay to graduate. It's okay to change your mind. And it's okay to want something different.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's okay to graduate. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to want something different. And that may mean having to have some uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
It may mean having to make some decisions that You know, I talked to a lot of people who are like, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I don't think you're confused. I think you know the answer and you just don't like it.
Yes. Yes. I think they need to read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield and get over that resistance. And if you don't love to read, watch the TED Talk. If you want a Cliff Notes version, get the Philosopher's Notes version of it where you can read it in 8 pages, but take the fucking excuses off the table.
Yep, exactly. Allison, thank you so much for being here. You are such a light in my life and in so many other people's lives. You just do such great work in the world. You inspire me so much.
Thank you. Let me see if I can make Duchess come over
yes,
here.
Yes, let's see Duchess.
Let's see if I can get her to come here, Mamacita. She hates the paparazzi girl. Hold on. There she is.
Hi, superstar. Oh, my
God. Hi, this is our little teacher for the day. And I taught her how not to, like, lick in the face or kiss in the face or anything. So, look, she won't even, look, she won't, you see her push me? Mm-hmm. Look, I taught her how, like, through her little training when she was born, but she just refuses. But she's a snuggler mm-hmm. and a lover, and she was our divine teacher for the day.
Oh, hi, Duchess. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so glad we got to see Duchess. All right, well, listen, have a beautiful day, everybody. I know you've got pages of notes. Take some action. All right. Love you.
I love you, girl. Bye.
Allison is so brilliant, isn't she? I first met Allison when she was delivering a keynote talk at a conference I was attending. And because I had registered as a VIP, she and I had a couple of occasions to talk and visit during the conference. And then, since we kind of hit it off, I was sure to follow up with her afterwards with a handwritten note and then just stayed in touch with her along the way. And I gotta say, staying available, grateful, humble, and friendly is a great way to build relationships with powerful people. If you've enjoyed this, but your time is limited and you'd like access to the rest of them, please hop over to therealsambennett.com/freedom. That's therealsambennett.com/freedom. And there you can opt in, get access to all these recordings and a bunch of fun freebies. We'd love to see you there. In the meantime, remember, the world needs your good work. Thanks, everybody.